it's Susie Sunshine's here. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas.
Hey, Susan.
And
happy
she's
Friday
making
to you.
A rare appearance here in Chicago, so we appreciate
Good
her doing that
you.
With us. And I would let us start now. You've spoken to our producers today, and you have indicated to them that there's a lot of interesting things that are happening on the planet Earth and in the economy as it pertains to how the American business community and, by extension, the markets are reading all of the when are we going to get tax reform? When are we going to get a regulatory reform? Today he signed regulatory reform. Today he signed his executive order with the two-for-one deal and pulling some of the what he calls redundant regulations off. Market, again, another up day. It's a pretty remarkable run, isn't it, on Wall Street?
It really is.
It's quite amazing, actually, that we've had such a strong performance here from the market. And this is really record-setting because it's been years since we've had performance like this. And it's because there's so much rhetoric coming out of the White House that's, you know, pro-business, pro-growth. And the market is really believing all of it and saying, all right, this is good. This is going to be good for business. Right when we start to think there might be a little bit of a lull, we get concerned about timing or things being pushed out. You have another bump from the administration, like Mnuchin's comments yesterday that, no, we're on track, tax relief. We want to have it in place by August. And so that's something that the market now, I think there was a little bit of weakening in sentiment of, can this really happen? Will it get pushed out to 2018? Because tax relief is a big part of it. That's a big thing for small business owners to understand that, you know, taxes can be going down. It encourages them to reinvest in their business. It makes things more profitable. It puts more money back into the economy circulating. So right when I thought we were seeing a little bit of a tempering in that in the last week, Mnuchin came out yesterday and said something very positive, gave people, you know, August, we're sticking to August. And so that was very comforting. And we're seeing, I think, a very adroit use of the press and news like this to keep those plans at the forefront. And now the focus really is we have Janet Yellen still out there, the March meeting for the Fed, very important. And then President Trump's address to Congress next week. And the market is really gauging that on what will happen in terms of, you know, will he be too vague? Will he give specifics? But the pro-growth themes will still be there. So
it seems like the people in the business world largely and the markets are a reflection of the financial world and a lot of smart people moving in that space, including yourself. They must believe that the president is going to be good or else we've seen, 10% growth in the Dow since the election. I mean, there've been huge numbers, and there must be some confidence that he is going to pull off some of this.
There's confidence. Remember, they're hearing the sound bites that they love. These are the things that they're most fond of. So when you tax reform, lower regulation, infrastructure spend, all those things, the market really responds well to.
For a guy who says he's not a politician, he's very good at telling people what they want to hear.
Exactly.
The people who want to hear what they want to hear. In greater dosages than most politicians do because he doesn't pull back on anything. He overpromises.
He's very, we would like to say forthcoming in his comments about business and how this is going to be great for business. And so he's very direct and people want it. The market loves that. The market doesn't really think too calculating about these things when they're getting this handed to them on a silver platter. But Anna, importantly, we saw good economic data starting over the summer, and the market didn't really respond to it then because we were so concerned about what was going on with the election and what would happen. Right. So while we've had this great run since he's elected, it really has been a catch-up run because we really didn't do anything. Remember, we started the summer with Brexit, and there was concern over Brexit. Then we kind of recovered from that and tapered out, waiting to see what would happen with the election. So we're seeing now, I think, that final response from the economic data that had already started to improve along with all these positive sound bites.
And businesses do like the idea, as you just pointed out, of these two, the twin benefits here of lower regulation and lower taxes. So
very much so.
So that's a little bit of gasoline on the fire.
Well, it's nirvana for a small business. This is exactly what you want to hear.
Okay. So and it doesn't appear that he's not going to be able to provide that. He's got a Republican Congress. I think Republicans in the main are, you know, agree with deregulation and with lower taxes. Question is, how are you going to pay for it? But I don't think small businesses care about that right now because the deficit and the debt are bigger issues, and people who just have to make it to their next payroll or make it to their next quarter, or they got to report back to their investors. They don't care about that right now.
They're not thinking about that right now. They're really focused on, you know, tax reform, great, does that lower taxes. And what I think is important is these themes haven't faded for him. So since President Trump has taken office, these were themes during the campaign, and these continue to be important themes since he's been in office. And so the market is
Why hasn't there been a reaction to the concept of border taxes and this idea and economic nationalism, which has become a big theme at CPAC? Ironically enough, you'd have gotten booed off the stage 2 years ago if you brought this up at CPAC. But at CPAC now, economic nationalism seems to be a very popular thing. Yay!
It was a big part of his talking points. America first. I'm not concerned with the globe. I'm concerned about you.
Right. And I would say don't think that there hasn't been a reaction. So when you look at this, with the border adjusted tax, the companies that are going to be hurt are the companies that have to pay a tax on things that they import. Most of the things that are imported right now go to the consumer. So ultimately, this means that the consumer might have to pay more because that cost is going to be passed through. Alternatively, a lot of our big industrial machinery companies, they export. And so they're very positive on this because in a border-adjusted system, they would benefit because they're exporting all their goods. And so I had a couple of
calls.
Unless
they get hit on taxes going to wherever they're exporting, though. Retaliatory.
But the border-adjusted tax does put us more in line with taxes as they are conducted around the world. And remember that we've talked about this, and it gets a little complicated, but over time, the increase of the tax should be offset by an increase in the dollar of the same amount. So taxes are 20%. The dollar's relative value to other currencies should go up by 20%. And this is what economists are thinking. Now, that's over a longer time period, so perhaps multi-year. But that is all something that comes into effect here. And retailers, I'm talking to some big consumer product company guys this week, and the CEOs are very concerned. So it's not that we're not seeing a reaction. We are. They're actively lobbying with their congressmen and in Washington right now about, you know, we're already paying tariffs. This is what it's going to hit us with. If we're the guys who import, there's no supply here in the U.S. This manufacturing has moved overseas. We can't get, you know, clothing. We can't get cotton T-shirts made like this here. It's a big deal for those. And so it's not that there hasn't been a reaction. There has been, and they're having a lot of intense discussions in Washington right now.
Susan, can I ask you about the retail sector? There's a lot of local interest in this now. Sears just announced Hoffman Estates Base that they're laying off 130 people at the corporate headquarters. We've seen announcements in recent weeks from JCPenney and Macy's closing more than 100 stores each.
Right.
You've come on the show before and talked about how the retail space is changing and evolving. I want to get your take on what this means for the jobs picture and what you see happening there.
Well, this is a disruption. So we've had the online presence, Amazon, we've talked about this, where people are just shopping online, and you saw it, 30% growth in online purchases over the holiday season this year. People weren't doing that bricks and mortar visit like they had done in years past.
Right.
So we saw a lot of sales growth in online shopping, and we're seeing a decline in the bricks and mortar. There's still a need for bricks and mortar. So what's interesting is you are seeing Amazon actually coming out and starting to put in physical locations, distribution centers, some virtual stores.
Bookstores
are back. Can you believe it? Exactly.
Okay.
The industry that nearly died is now back. And so,
because people like to smell the pulp paper in the room. Why?
Maybe I'm alone on that. I still like to hold a book sometimes.
Some
when I'm on vacation
still
or
like
something.
To hold it. There is a place for it. And interestingly, a lot of the online shopping that you do, we say it's online, but your return might actually go back to a physical location. And so there's still a need for a bricks and mortar physical location. And so some of that is tied in. But we are seeing pressure on the retailers. And this disruption from online and the internet and being able to have that facility and shopping is going to ripple through. And that is going to take away jobs and reallocate real estate because we don't need as many stores. And that's unfortunately a hard, cold fact.
All right, so now that we're learning about the back to sort of the macroeconomic situation here, now that we're learning that looks like if there's going to be tax reform, likely there will be tax reform.
Likely.
It will be later in the summer, right? We'll know the details of that.
Right. Secretary Mnuchin said that by August. They were aiming by August.
All right.
And so, and that's going to be aggressive. They've got a lot on their plate. So,
because it's complicated to do.
It is very complicated, and they're trying to figure out ways to navigate through it. We still don't have a firm belief on what we do with border adjusted tax. Does it make sense? Does it doesn't not make sense?
Right.
President Trump kind of backed away from it, but then yesterday had comments supporting it. So that's still up in the air. Lots of discussion around that.
Lots of discussion.
It's complicated.
Well, yeah.
That's a good way to say it.
Hold on 1 second. We'll come right back. Susan Schmidt is with us from Westwood in Dallas. She's traveling the nation. She's traveling North America, actually, this week.
We're happy you could stop and
stopping
be with us.
Here in Chicago with
Indeed
us.
Indeed, I am.
And we have, well, here's what we got right now. Violetta Pottermedic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. I got a pair of Hawks tickets right now. Blackhawks taking on the Blues on Sunday. Oh, that's a big game. Entered Plus to win Four Seasons tickets next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com or on Facebook. 19th caller, 312-981-7200. I got about 30 seconds left here. Susan Schmidt, you were mentioning that you're looking at the 10-year Treasury yield, and that tells you a little something about the way the market's heading here.
Yes. So look at the 10-year Treasury, folks. It's important to take a look at it and pay attention to it, because sometimes we start to see stress in the bond markets before we see it in the equity markets. So that 10-year Treasury, the rate on that is today hit the lowest that it's been since the start of the year.
Does that indicate the markets could go up or go down?
And so it says that we're in a cooling off period.
Susan Schmidt, Westwood in Dallas. Thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it.